And we have the Spirit of the living God living in us. Psalms 95, verse 7 and 8. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion and in the day of the trial in the wilderness. Today, if you will hear his voice. The way you get to hear God's voice is to spend time with him. And this is the hardest thing for us to do as Christians, is to get quiet. And sometimes just lay before him. You do that for about 30 seconds and you start falling asleep. Rebuke that sleepy devil. Tell him you're not going to fall asleep. Just get quiet. Turn off the TV. Turn off the radio. Turn off the air conditioner if you have to. Go out in the park somewhere and just in nature where it's quiet and peaceful. And just say, God, I want to hear from you. I just want to spend time with you. I mean, if you only have 15 minutes, spend that 15 minutes with God. If you have more time, you can spend with him, spend more time with him. The more you do, you know, when we're driving in a car, when I'm driving around town in a car, or I'm driving someplace to minister, most of the time, I don't turn on any radio, anything. I just spend time with God. Amen. I pray in tongues a lot. Yeah. I may pray in tongues the whole way, but while I'm praying in tongues, God can still speak to me. While I'm praying in tongues, God still ministers to me. When I'm praying in tongues, God still downloads into me what I need for what I'm going to do when I get there. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you build up yourself and your most holy faith. So when I get to some place to minister, I jump out of the car. I feel like Superman sometimes. Ah, where's them devils at, man? I'm ready for them now. Woo! I've been praying in tongues for 2 hours. I'm ready for any devil in hell. I'm writing a little booklet, which will probably be out this year. I'm writing a couple of them. Four things God requires of every person. Number one, you must be born again. Anybody. Number one, you must be born again. It's a command of God. You must be born again. Number two, you must be baptized in water. It's a command of God. If you've never been baptized in water, find your river and jump in it. Listen, we don't have to get real technical with this stuff, okay? I was baptized in a ditch in prison. They had a portable baptismal they sent from prison to prison, but our chaplain wasn't saved, and he would never ask for it to come to our prison. But we were in a swamp in South Florida, and when it rained, the ditches filled up with snakes and lizards and worms and all kind of junk in there, minnows. We would have the swamp on three sides of the prison. We'd have little baby alligators in there and everything else. So we had one of the prison guards was a Christian, and he was reading the scriptures on baptism. We were dunking each other in the ditch. That's where I got baptized at. But it's a command of God. You must be baptized in water. Number three, I believe you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost and fire. Matthew chapter 3. The Holy Ghost and fire. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's two different things there. You need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, filled with God's Spirit. Because if you've never done it, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. If you've never done that, you won't make it. That's the power. That's God's power residing in you. The same power that created the whole earth now lives inside of you. I don't understand how that can happen. You know, there's a lot of mysteries in the Bible. How can we be seated in heavenly places but sit in church this morning? But we are seated right now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. We're actually seated in Christ Jesus. And he's seated next to the Father interceding for us. How can that be? I don't know. But if God says it is true, amen, we'll understand all these things one of these days. So, number three, you must be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then you need to be baptized in fire. What does that mean? There's a separate baptism in fire, especially if you're in ministry or if you're an intercessor. You need that baptism in fire. What is that? It's a baptism that purifies and cleanses you from the filthiness of the flesh so that you could be pure to be used by God in any way he sees fit. You need that baptism in fire. It'll burn out all the junk in your life, all the doubts, all the fears, all the intrepidation about going forward, about totally surrendering to God. Any kind of hesitation that you have, reservations you have, it'll burn that junk out. And number four, the most important thing, and this is why I'm writing this booklet. Number four, you have to report for work. You're laughing, but most Christians have never done that. God, here I am. I belong to you now. I'm saved. I'm baptized. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I'm baptized in fire. I'm ready to be used by you. What do you want me to do? Most Christians today have never done that. I used to ask for a show of hands, but I embarrassed so many people, I don't do that anymore. You know who you are. You know, here's the scenario. Most people get born again. They start going to church. Whoever led them to the Lord maybe says, you need to go to my church or whatever. Or there's a church on the corner, you know, a nice little Baptist church down the street or a Presbyterian church. And they start going there. And the people are friendly. People are nice. And the next thing you know, they need somebody to help with the children in the nursery. So you volunteer for that. They need some ushers. So you volunteer to be an usher or a greeter or whatever. So you get a little job in the church and you're a good little Christian. You're reading your Bible. You know, maybe you go to a Bible study on Tuesday night somewhere. You go to church on Sunday and you've been a good little Christian. And the next thing you know, 20 years has gone by. 40 years. Next thing you know, maybe you got saved and you really felt a strong call of God and you felt like I need to go to a Bible seminary or something and get some kind of degree, you know, so I can serve God better. Well, here's the question with all of these scenarios. They didn't ask God, God, is this what you want me to do? Do you want me to usher? Do you want me to work in it? Do I have to ask about that? Yes. Yes. Why? Because it pertains to your destiny. Everything you've done in the past has made you who you are today. Either good or bad, right or wrong, it's made you who you are. The words you spoke yesterday made you who you are today. Because words have created power. When you spoke words, they created something. They created a thought, an idea, an impression, a mental picture of who you are. I can never do that. I could never amount to that. I could never be somebody like that. I could never have that kind of money. When you say those things, you're painting a picture inside your spirit, and your spirit now is limited to the words that you spoke. Go back to giving for just a second. You know, when the offering used to come around, I used to have this, when I first got saved, I'd just throw some money in there, you know, $5, $20, you know. This is back in the early 80s. And I would just throw some money in the offering. But I heard a teaching on sowing seed one day. That you need to name your seed. You know, if you're sowing corn, you expect to get corn. If you put watermelon seeds in the ground, you expect to get some watermelons. But if you just throw it in there, I don't know what it is. I don't care what it is. Maybe it'll come up. Maybe it won't. You don't understand the power of sowing seeds. If you're a farmer, if you've done any farming or planting or had a garden, you understand the power of sowing seeds. If you want tomatoes, you don't plant rutabagas. You know, you've got to plant what you want. If the rutabagas come up and say, how'd they get in there? Well, you planted them. Oh. I don't like the way I am today. Well, you know what? You planted those seeds yesterday, the day before, the day before. You allowed that relationship. You allowed that business deal. You allowed that thing that happened in your family to ruin you, to tarnish your seed, to make you start speaking junk out of your mouth, and that made you who you are today. But you can change it. You can change it right now. We can forget. God, we can repent of that, and God will wipe it all out. So we need to report for work. Ask God what he wants us to do. And it's never too late. Never too late. I don't care if you're 85 years old today. It's never too late. God still has a plan and a purpose for you. We met a guy doing street ministry one day in Florida. And the guy used to stand in front of the 7-Eleven store. How many remember 7-Eleven stores? He used to stand in front of the 7-Eleven store on Nebraska Avenue in Tampa, Florida, where all the prostitutes and the drug addicts were. And he would just stand outside, and he had a handful of tracts, Bible tracts. And when somebody would come out, he would just say, would you receive Jesus? And he would hand them a tract. That's all he did. Sometimes they wouldn't take it. Sometimes they'd throw it down. We sat there one night and watched him. Sometimes they spit next to him. They didn't spit on him, thank God. But, you know, and sometimes they'd take the tracts. We see, you know, 10 feet down the street, they'd throw them out. Whatever. He didn't care. If he saw them throw them down, he'd walk over and pick the track up, dust it off, put it back in a stack, and stand there and give the next person a track. He said, As far as I know, I'm the only person in my Presbyterian church that's saved. And God told me to do this, so this is what I do every Friday and Saturday night. That's his ministry. He can't preach. He can't run all over the country like I do. But he can hand out tracts. I met another guy. He had a lot of physical problems. I mean, he really couldn't get out of his house much. And he was praying. He said, well, Lord, I need to know, what can I do? What can I do to make a difference in my world? And the Lord says, do you have a telephone book? He said, yeah. I want you to call 10 people every day at random out of the telephone book and say, Jesus loves you and I love you. Is there something I can pray with you about? He said, now, if 9 of them don't answer, don't call 9 more people. You call 10 numbers a day and that's it. And you tell them the same thing. He said, I've been doing that for years now. I've made so many friends. I've led so many people to Jesus. And I have so many people now that I can meet at the coffee shop and talk with because I've prayed with them and God's healed them. God's encouraged them. God's blessed them. See, that says ministry from home. Calls 10 people a day at random. Says, I love you and God loves you. Can I pray for you? And of course, they always hit him with, well, what church do you go to? Are you a Mormon? Or, you know, he'd just say, no, I'm just calling to pray for you. Can I pray for you? I don't have a church. I just want to pray for you. There's something everybody can do. Amen. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone be in Christ, he's a new creature, new creation. If you look that up in the Greek, it means a new species, something the world has never seen before. When you got born again, you are one of a kind. I mean, some of you wives and husbands can say that about your spouse already, but when you got born again, you're a one of a kind. I mean, there's nobody else like you. And why? Because God wants you to use you the way you are. Because you appeal to some people that I won't appeal to you. You'll appeal to some people that Ronnie won't appeal to you. Amen. God will just use you to just get in to that person. We have a friend in England who's a police officer and a good buddy of ours. I stayed at his house when I ministered over there. So we go out someplace to a restaurant or whatever. He said, I'm a cop and this guy's a robber and we're hanging out together, you know. That's his way to minister to people. He's funny. But he has a friend named Bob, and this is the most unassuming looking guy you'd ever seen. Little short, bald headed guy, kinda like me. I'm a little better looking though, but Bob loved Israel and he wanted to know, what can I do to help Israel? So Bob started writing letters to diplomats in Israel and high officials in Israel. And he made several trips there and became friends with these people. And he is the representative in all of the UK for Israel. And he's been given several awards, all the stuff he's done for them and ways he's helped them. But, you know, to look at the guy, you'd never know that he's anybody or anything. You know, he's just Bob, you know. But the guy's just got a wall full of plaques and award certificates, all kinds of stuff. And he's not doing it for that. Okay, he's doing it because he loves Israel and he wants to help them. So God has a plan for all of us. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get back about hearing God's voice, and I'm going to skip some of these notes here. When God speaks to you, when you get something in your spirit, I need you to call Susan right now. And you look at your watch and it's 1:30 in the morning. You just got up to get a glass of water. But you feel that urgency. I need to call her right now. Don't blame it on the pizza. Don't say, well, I'll call her when I wake up in the morning because I got to get up at 5:30 anyway or 6 o'clock to go to work. I'll call her in the morning. No, you do it right now. The way to get in tune with God is to obey him instantly. Amen. Instantly. When he tells you something, do it. I don't care how crazy it sounds. Just do it. I want you to go across the street and witness to that person standing on the corner. Well, I don't even know them. Well, they don't know you either. Right. You just go over there. Jeremiah said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. Well, we all know how to open our mouth wide, don't we? So you open your mouth wide and let God fill it with the words that he needs to speak to that person. Amen. You know, most of the time when I prophesy, most of the time when I give words of knowledge, words of wisdom, or different ministry gifts like that, I don't have any thought in my head about what I'm going to speak when I open my mouth. Amen. It's not coming from my head, it's coming from my spirit. Coming from my spirit. My head can be thinking about a baseball game in Philadelphia, But my spirit is in tune with God, and my mouth will be speaking what God wants to speak to that person. You've got to realize the real you is not your body. The real you is your spirit man on the inside. That's the real you. We are spirit, soul, and body. Your soul is your mind, your will, your intellect. And then your body is your flesh. When we go to be with the Lord, this body is going to be left behind. We won't need it. We'll have a brand new body. One that can go through walls. One that can think about being on Saturn, and we'll be there in a second. You know, think about being on the other side of the next universe. We'll be there in a half a second. You know, we'll just appear and disappear. We'll be wherever God needs us to be at. We'll have an awesome body. We won't have any pain. You know, all of you will be instantly younger. Isn't that awesome? There won't be any old people in heaven. I mean, if they're old, you may recognize them as your grandmother or aunt or something, but they're going to look very different, believe me. Amen. Believe me. God's got a work for all of us to do. So when the Lord speaks to us, if you have a question, ask for Scripture. But train yourself to just obey Him as soon as He says it. As soon as He says it. You're driving to work one day. You always go to work the same way. One day he says, don't go that way. Go this way. Well, that's 3 miles longer, and I'll be 10 minutes late. Well, it may save your life. We lived in California. I drove an 18-wheeler in Southern California with that traffic. 53-foot trailer in downtown L.A. That's insane. And you have to be led by the Spirit of God wherever you go. Because believe me, if you turn down the wrong street, you're not getting out of there. There's nowhere to go. And I've had some interesting things happen. I was coming down from Virginia one time to North Carolina, and I'm on Highway 17, and right at the Virginia border there, it's just a two-lane road, just a little two-lane road. And I come around the corner, it's January, and there was ice, black spots of ice on the road. And I had a full-loaded truck, 73,000 pounds, on this trailer. I come around the corner, and there's a car that hit that ice that spun out, and they went in this ditch. It was a real deep ditch, and all you could see was a headlight shining straight in the air. Another car had stopped on the side of the road to help them, blocking half of the road. I come around the corner with this truck at about 50 miles an hour. If I'd have hit the brakes, I'd have taken all of them out, and we'd all died. I just hollered, Jesus! And I was on the other side of that wreck still going straight. My wife and I have been praying recently. We're ready to start being translated from country to country. Forget the airplane. It's too much trouble. Going through all that security now is a real pain. So we're just ready to be translated. God, you just put me in India tonight. I'll preach there for 3 or 4 days and then I can come home. You know, I won't have to worry about no airplanes or tickets or spending money. I'll just be there and then I'll be home. So we've really been speaking that lately. So you need to start spending time with the Lord to know His voice, to know what He's telling you. And get specifics. Specifics. That's the most important thing. Specifics. In the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Just got a couple more scriptures and I'll be finished here. Let's go back to Romans chapter 5 first. Romans chapter 5, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. Not only flesh, but this world. We're earthly minded, worldly minded. I don't mean that in a sinful way, but we're thinking about things of the world all the time. We're worried about money. We're worried about status. We're worried about this and that, our children, our grandchildren. We got all these different cares and things going on. We need to cast those cares on the Lord. Because you can't do anything about them anyway. If you'd be more spiritually minded, the Bible says it brings you life and peace. How many of you need life in your flesh? Yes, sir. It's Romans 8. Okay. Those that live according to the flesh, set their minds on things of the flesh. Romans 8. Oh, excuse me. All right. Romans 8, 5 and 6. So, for those that live according to the flesh, set their minds on the things of the flesh. In other words, if you're earthly minded all the time, worldly minded all the time, you're not going to hear from God very clearly. you're going to be very confused about when God does speak to you, you're going to be very confused about it. Amen. Is that God? Is that not God? Is that me? Amen. Should I do that now or should I do it later? You know, your hearing is going to be clouded. Right. You know, it's like somebody mumbling to you. Go and do this and blah, 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 blah. What? You're getting a little bit of it, but you're not getting the whole gist of it. Amen. And that's the way you are when you can't hear clearly from God. God says, give, so you just pull out some money and give it. Well, wait a minute. You didn't finish listening to him. You know, that happened to me when I got saved in prison in 1975 in Florida. And when I got arrested, I was shot in the head by the police. I was paralyzed, had brain damage, had epileptic seizures every day for years. Blood clots all over my body. My right side was completely paralyzed. I was a mess. Eyesight was messed up. And 4.5 years later, I prayed a simple prayer of faith and got instantly healed. Amen. Had crutches. You strap on your arms, threw my crutches to the ground and ran out the door. My leg grew out about 3 inches. Eyesight came back. Headaches disappeared. Epilepsy disappeared. There's some brain damage they still argue about. But so I got so excited. I was a chaplain's assistant at that time at another prison. I got so excited, I ran out into prison and started laying hands on everybody that even looked sick. If they looked like they had a runny nose, I was laying hands on them. I was casting out demons. And you know, and it worked pretty good for about a day or two. And then I prayed for a guy and nothing happened. So I immediately went back to the chapel. I got on my knees and I said, God, what's going on here? He said, I'm glad you came back. I was trying to talk to you 2 days ago when you ran off. You know, I was telling you to go lay hands on people, but I was trying to teach you how to do that and how to have some wisdom about yourself, and that not, it's not God's will that every person be healed every time right now, because God's dealing with some unsaved people about their sin and about their situation. And God does want to heal them, but there's a timing in God for everything. And so when I came back, God says, I'm glad you came back. Now I can tell you the rest of what I tried to tell you before you ran off. And some of us, we get a word from God and we think, that's it. That's it. That's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. And sell their house and move to Borneo somewhere, you know, to be a missionary. We knew a family like that. They lost everything. Sold their house, moved out. Got there and got beat up by the devil. Came back, didn't have a house, didn't have nothing. I know a pastor in England like that, a pastor in London like that. He did the same thing. Thought he heard from God, sold everything, moved to America, gave his church to another guy, built up a big church, had a very successful ministry, gave it to a younger minister and took off to America. Where within a few months, he almost became homeless. You see, you need to get all the details. When God's speaking to you and it's something fantastic, something huge, ask for details. Amen. God, I want to know everything. Tell me everything I need to know. Give me details. Give me scriptures. Give me confirmation through prophecy. Give me confirmation through my wife, through my husband. Give me confirmation through total strangers I don't even know. Let them say something that will confirm it to me. You know, you can overhear a conversation sometimes and it will confirm what God's been dealing with you about. We were just 2 weeks ago, we were in Fort Worth, Texas, at the Kenneth Copeland Convention, 50th anniversary. And I was overhearing some people talking, and what they were saying was something that I had been praying about that ministered to me. They didn't know that I needed to hear that, but God did, and God positioned me close to those people where I could hear what they were saying. So I got ministered to. So that's why we need to be careful of our words. Amen. What are we saying out of our mouth? Are we saying things that edify and build somebody up? Amen. Are we saying things of a loving nature? Are we saying things that are prophesying into our future or destroying our future? Amen. Be careful what comes out of your mouth. Why is it so important? Matthew 12:37 says, by your words you'll be justified and by your words you'll be condemned. That's why it's important. In Genesis chapter 1, the whole world was created by words. Did you know science has finally figured it out? This happened several years ago now. Science has finally figured out that everything on this earth, every bit of matter is created by sound waves.
Right.
Sound waves, words.
Right.
Noises.
Right.
At different frequencies. Yeah, they call it the God particle. The God particle. You can look it up sometimes. Pretty interesting. Pretty interesting. So I want you to, this will be your homework lesson. And I've got more I'm going to share this afternoon, but this is your homework lesson. Go home and get before God. A time when you have some time to spend, at least 15, 20 minutes. I know if you're not used to doing that, it'll seem like eternity. You'll probably fall asleep. You might have to wake up once or twice. But stay there. Stay before God. You know, true worship means to prostrate yourself, to lay before the Lord, like our sister did here earlier. To lay before the Lord. That's true worship. Lay before God and say, God, I want you to talk to me. I don't know that I've ever heard you, or I don't know that I've ever heard you clearly, but I want to hear you clearly. I want to hear you every day. I had a lady come up to me in church one time. She goes, man, God just spoke to me. She was so excited, like, aha! I said, well, he speaks to me every day.
Amen.
That really let the air out of her, but I didn't mean to do that, so I had to repent. I had to repent. And, you know, I got excited with her then after that. But, you know, I said, honey, it needs to be an everyday thing. Every day, all the time. I mean, you have a best friend or your wife or your husband that you, it's your best friend you hang out with all the time. Friend you like to go out and eat with all the time and go places with. I said, you need to know God as good as you know that person. My wife and I, we haven't been married quite as long as your pastors. We've been married 36 years. But because I was held back by the state of Florida, so I couldn't get married. Couldn't get married earlier, but anyway, it all worked out. But yes, that's right. I was going through Bible college at the time, hands-on training, amen, casting out demons. But you know, my wife and I'm sure a lot of you couples can say this if you've been married a long time. You can finish each other's sentences. We'll drive by and see something on the side of the road, and I know what she's going to say because I'm going to say the same thing. Wow, wasn't that an awesome-looking house? Or, you know, man, they got a beautiful garden, don't they, you know? You know, we think the same way. We speak the same way. You know, it's kind of scary sometimes. But that's the way we need to be with God. We need to know God's heart so much. God's heart needs to be our heart.
Amen.
That when we see somebody hurting, somebody that needs compassion, our heart goes out to that person.
Amen.
And immediately God gives us what we need to do to minister to them.
Yeah.
You know, not every person begging needs money. That might be what they're asking for, but they need more than that. Okay? If you can get their life right with God, get them truly born again and on the right track with God and get them hearing from God, God can lift them out of that. Even in Henry County where there's no jobs, he can lift them out of that.
Amen.
Did you know that God can give you one idea that can make you a millionaire?
That's right.
I always use a story about the hula hoop. Back in the 60s when I was a kid, some guy came up with this stupid plastic ring. And they had different colors. And I think they sold for like 99 cents or $1.49. The guy made them for 19 cents a piece. And then he got the cost down to 7 cents a piece. But within, I think it was 18 months, he was a multimillionaire. Now, that wasn't even a new idea. Hula hoops have been around. That thing has been around since Egyptians. They've had things like that. But he came out with the right idea at the right time, at the right cost, and he got filthy rich. God can do that for you. He can give you an idea. So I want to speak that over you right now. Father, I declare that every person here today hears clearly from God. That their flesh, their intellect, their education does not get in the way. But that they hear clearly from God. And that they learn to instantly obey your voice. And, Father, that you give them ideas for witty inventions,
yes,
business ideas, Ways to make money that nobody else has thought of. Ways to make money that nobody in Henry County is doing right now. And they'll be on the cutting edge. And Lord, I pray for them that you would supply all of the need that they need to start. They need the seed to start. Provide that seed and show them that it is seed and not to be eaten. And I pray, Father, as you lead them and guide them, and as they sow that seed, and as they listen to you, that their life will be abundantly blessed. I speak your magnificent and mighty and awesome blessings upon every person here today. From this day, their life will be changed and never be the same in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.